Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome to City on a Hill Radio Show. We're shining the light on our biblical Christian foundation. It was here in America where the genius of mankind was unleashed. This was the place, right here in America, where one could start at the bottom and rise to the top. Here in America, where the circumstances of one's birth do not determine the course for one's life. This is the place in all of the world where dreams really can come true, the land of hope, opportunity, the land of the free, because it is the home of the brave, and it is because of our biblical Christian foundation. We have deep Christian roots in our nation, and just because many of our leaders have departed from our roots doesn't mean that we don't have those deep Christian roots. Our foundations matter. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Throughout our history, our nation has acknowledged the authority of God, respect for God, And that acknowledgement has been chiseled in stone, inscribed on walls, pieced together in mosaics, and painted on canvas so that American generations will never forget that we are a nation founded on God. Daniel Webster, the great American patriot, said, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect the Bible's instructions and the Bible's authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity." Noah Webster said the Bible must be considered as the great source of all truth by which men are to be guided in government as well as in all social transactions. The moral principles and precepts contained in the scriptures ought to form the basis for all our civil constitutions and laws. But yesterday in the House of Representatives, the majority there voted to repeal the ban on homosexuals serving in the military, the ban on don't ask, don't tell policy and law. And that is now before the Senate. Yesterday, the representatives, the majority of the representatives, took that step in violation of all the values that we hold dear, the biblical values that we hold dear that are the foundation of this nation. And even as Moses was peering into the chamber, there are only two portraits in the House of Representatives. There are many profiles of lawgivers, and there is one full face peering into the House of Representatives chamber, and that is of Moses, who received the law of God from God to give to mankind. And what a terrible, terrible step that was. And now this issue is before our Senate today, and it's looking as if we're in deep, deep trouble there. Diana, we're going to be talking about that today. And would you like to open us up in prayer?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. First, I'd like to ask our listeners, thank you, first of all, for listening to us. Whether it be the podcast or on live streaming, we're on at 3 o'clock Central Time, Monday through Friday. And you can listen to us on our podcast. And we thank God for those that have already done that. But if you're like me, I did not know very much about the history of this nation because it was not well taught in my textbooks. At least I do not remember it as being such a wonderful thing as I do when I listen to Ms. Barbara Moore, who first of all has such a great love for God and such a great love and gratefulness to God for allowing her to live in this nation, that it cannot help but be contagious to listeners like me. And so I just count it a privilege for her to be on and to really raise us to a new level. So we ask that you join us. She is a teacher of history, along with Mr. Wayne Wood, who comes on. Also, and it is just a privilege to be able to hear from them and to see the beauty of God's hand in forming this nation. And as always, we like to start off a lot of times with, like, Ronald Reagan, as you heard earlier. And we want to give honor to the men and women throughout history who have given of their lives and families. You know, a lot of them gave up a lot, not just their life, but their families, to serve you and me, so that we can enjoy our way of life. And this Christmas, as we enjoy our Christmas festivities, we need to remember them. So I'm hoping people are calling today. But, yes, we want to lift them up in prayer. And, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are such a great God, an amazing, wonderful God. And why is it that you love us, Lord, so much that you gave your one and only Son? Lord, our minds cannot comprehend that. And Lord, you said in Matthew 7:7, to ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. And Lord, we ask first of all for your will to be done. But Lord, throughout the history of this nation, Lord, men like George Washington have humbled themselves before you, Lord. And when things looked impossible, Lord, as the word says, your word says with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Lord, right now we see that this policy of don't ask, don't tell, that the repeal, Lord, is being considered by the likes of our senators, Lord, like Scott Brown, Olympia Snowe, Susan Collins, Lord, Senator Lugar, and Voinovich. Those are going to be the key ones, Lord, on this vote. And Lord, we ask that you speak to their heart, Lord. They say that they are yours. They are Christians. Lord, we ask that you speak to their hearts, Lord, and that they would consider, Lord, the risk, Lord Heavenly Father, as was said by the Lord General, the U.S. Marine Corps General, Lord. He does not want to risk his men's lives, and this will risk their lives. And, Lord, offer an agenda that is anti-God, that is against your will. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask for your mighty help, your mighty hand at this time, Lord, in our nation's lives. Lord, as we consider the economy, Lord, that is uppermost in the minds of a lot of people. But, Lord, I believe that they care for our military. They love our soldiers, the men and women and their families, Lord, that sacrifice daily, Lord, so that they can have the life that they have, so they can live in a country where there is hope, Lord. So, Lord, I'm believing that there are others that's going to be praying with us, Lord, and asking that you help, Heavenly Father, and that your hand would be upon this issue, Lord, and that, Lord, you would not allow the ban, Lord, Heavenly Father, you will not allow the repeal of don't ask, don't tell to happen, Lord. And, Heavenly Father, we love you. Again, we ask this, Lord, and we ask for this show, Lord, that you give Miss Barbara and me the words to say, Lord. We do not hate the homosexuals, Lord. You said to love our brothers, hate the sin, but we love them, Lord. And in loving, we have to tell the truth, Lord. And your word is the truth. And your word has said it is an abomination. So, Heavenly Father, we do not use our words, but your words, Heavenly Father, that is there in the Holy Scriptures to give us life, Lord, life abundant and life eternal. And so, Lord, we ask these things, and we pray for this nation at this dark moment, Lord, that your light would shine, Lord, in the halls of Congress, Lord, right now as they deliberate, that your presence will be felt, Lord, the Holy Spirit will be felt. And, Lord, you said you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we claim that, Lord, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Diana. You know, I'm so glad that as you were praying, you declared that we have no hate for the homosexuals or anyone else. We can't. God loves all of us. So, you know, we love everyone too, and love enough to speak the truth in love, but we love God most of all, and so we stand for what His Word says, and we are to obey Him and uphold His standards, His commandments, and that's. You know, and that's what the founders did, too, as they formed this nation. They upheld his standards. You know, George Washington said, let us raise up a standard to which the wise and honest can return to. The event is in the hand of God. And so, you know, we uphold God's standards. And, you know, when you, I was thinking about this. What came to mind also is that there are many reasons for disqualifying someone for service in the military. Old age, you know. There were those very, very old that have always volunteered, courageously volunteered to serve in our military. They've been denied that because of old age. You know, if we're handicapped in some way, a friend of mine was refused entrance into the military to serve because of a lack of sight in one eye. So physical and mental handicaps can disqualify us. Old age, many different reasons disqualify us for military service. And homosexuality is one of those reasons for many reasons. There are many reasons, legitimate reasons, why that is so. It's not a discrimination strictly against them. But the military has to have unit cohesion, has to be the very best it can be to protect us and defend our national sovereignty. So I think it's important to point that out, that it is not just homosexuals that are disqualified from serving in the military. There are many others that are disqualified as well. Diana?
Sorry, Ms. Barbara. Here we go. I had stepped away for a moment. Yes, I was hearing you speak about the reasons of disqualification, and I just want to bring up, if I may, at this point, Ms. Barbara, there was a Pew Research poll that I don't know if you remember when the poll came out about the American people and the issue of homosexuality. And it was like it's one of the things that is in the bottom when you compare it to the economy and all those other things. And I'm looking at the report, and of course, you know, it ranks very highly among, you know, evangelical Christians. But I'm thinking, in a way, from what I heard in the news, you know, sometimes what's put out there is like half truth. And half truth
right.
influences. Right, Ms. Barbara?
Yeah. Yes.
And I think at this poll, I don't think it's really saying that it's not important to the American people, but it was ranking, you know. And I don't think the American people, because I have heard people speak of it, they had never dreamed that this issue was going to happen, that, you know, don't ask, don't tell will be repealed.
Are you saying?
I think.
Are you saying that repealing don't ask, don't tell is not high on the list of priorities for the American people? In fact, it's not even on the radar screen?
Well, I'm thinking, from what I'm looking at this Pew Policy research page, because I'm thinking to myself, you know, it was made out as if the majority of the American people were for the repeal. You know, that homosexuality was no longer an issue with American people. They made it sound like it's no longer an issue. And, you know, that may be for the younger generation, because we know what they're being raised in. You know, they're being, like you said, you know, sexualized. There's a lot of things happening to a younger people where almost they're being deadened to the evils of our society.
Well, it's twofold, Diana. It's twofold. They're not reading their Bibles cover to cover as young people did in the past, and they are being bombarded by the media with the normalization of homosexuality, and that normalization of homosexuality is aimed at them in the school system, has been for many years. It's nothing new. It's been there. It's been pushed. music. You have lesbians kissing each other on the Emmy Awards and all that stuff, and bombarded. They are bombarded with television and movies, and that it is normal, that this is normal. So, yeah, their values and their ideas about this are different from the older generations who have biblical knowledge and who have not been indoctrinated, as you said.
Well, I'm thinking on this issue that was regarding the homosexuality issue. It says here, economy, jobs, Trump, social issues in 2010. And the total, it says 90% on economy, 88% jobs, 58% on immigration, 43%, and 32% on same-sex marriage. It says that percentage saying each issue is very important. So,
Diana, also, do you think that those that were polled and probably more mature, and they might possibly be among the citizens who do know that there's a certain responsibility and authority for government, and then there are other things that we do not authorize our government to do, but we do authorize them in those things that were listed that were priority. That they have a lot of responsibility, that government has a lot of responsibility there too, because as you were naming them, I thought, well, yeah, and we can always go to the preamble of the Constitution to do a checklist. Is this what we the people authorize the government to do? Well, if it is, then yeah, you know. But there are certain things that we don't authorize them to do, like push a social agenda and violate the law by doing so. You know, I mentioned to you before that I do believe that this, if this becomes a law, that it will be in violation of the First Amendment because it's Christians who are going to be forbidden to practice the free exercise of religion. It's going to be Christian chaplains that are going to be forbidden. Not only are freedom of speech will be violated, that they will not have the freedom of speech to teach their beliefs and speak their beliefs, but they also will not be able to have the free exercise of religion as well. And that is forbidden for the government to make laws that do those things. So,
and Ms. Barbara, I think, you know, what you're saying, I think the more the American people realize, you know, what is truly at stake here, I think they're going to see a backlash, because I think, as you know, like I said earlier, a lot of people did, you know, had said they'd never thought that they would see this happen. And in this little article that I'm looking, which is from the Pew Policy Center, it says, as previously reported, 9 in 10 voters rate the economy as very important, and 88% do so for jobs. Well, to tell you the truth, in the mind of most Americans right now, that's an easy answer. Yeah, that is very important. My house is burning, you know. I'm out of work.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, that's something we all see. But as far as to be able to say that, you know, the American people do not think those are as important, I think they're taking it out of the context of what is happening in front of the American people's face, in their eyes, and is being put out there in the television. There's not been much information on this same-sex marriage issue. You know, the homosexuality issue is something that even a lot of these prime networks are not really showing both sides of the story. So it's not like it's not really, I think you used the word radar, it's not mm-hmm. really there before their eyes as it should be. And I can see
right.
why the Pew research would be kind of skewed that way, because I don't think it really says it's not important to them. It is important. It's one of the topics that's important. It's just that right now we are so concentrating on the economy, and that's what you hear a lot of. And, you know, when you hear the the Olympia Snow and the Susan Collins. I think it was Susan Collins that says, you know, I'm not going to vote. Or it might have been Olympia Snow. I'll have to look that up. But one of them, might have been both of them, said. I think there was 42 that signed on that says, you know, we're not going to pass any of these social issues until the budget, right? The fiscal issues are taken care of. And so they signed that. And I guess that's what they're talking about, you know, because that is uppermost, they think, in the minds of the American people. But I think they're not realizing, hey, the other issues are just as important. The American people is just shocked because they figure you're going to take care of the fiscal issues, and this is not, you know, this is not going to happen. But as we're seeing Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi with their expert manipulation, you know, their one last dig to the American people at the price, in this case, of the lives of our men and women, it's really pretty, it's a big coup for them, Ms. Barbara.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we suspected that this was going to be coming in at this time, and we even talked about it months ago, Diana, on the air, that we feared that this was going to happen. And now here it is. Here it is. And, you know, the American people are, so many are not aware that this is going on. And, you know, I don't think that many Americans have been told about the Admiral Mike Mullen, who testified in hearings this past Friday, that Christians who refuse to shower or sleep with homosexuals can find another place to work, period. I don't think they know that Admiral Mike Mullen said that intense training will be forced upon combat troops who resist homosexuality. I don't think the American people know that vast numbers, a high percentage of soldiers have said they will leave the military early if this is passed and takes effect. And we're talking our national security, it would be in such numbers that our national security would be threatened. We could not even begin to do what we're doing now. Yes.
I'm looking at, you know, our friend Chaplain Klingschmidt, his website, thepraingjesusname.org, and I know you've seen his email. It says here 24% will leave the military or think about leaving sooner than planned. That's one quarter of our military.
And it's what, in the...
1.5 million troops, they said.
1.5 million,
they said about
okay.
A half a million, yeah. 500,000
troops. Okay, who's going to take their place? These are trained professionals, you know, trained. And they're going to be leaving in numbers like that, and that would be the minimal, I would think, the minimal number that would be fleeing if they are going to be subjected to intense training to make them think that, you know, to undergo this training for the normalization of homosexuality in their minds. You know, 91% of our troops 91% of our troops said it would be against their will to share the common sleeping quarters or showers.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, they've compared this, Ms. Barbara, right, with the women, when the women came in, which I had heard, too, that one thing that we don't hear a lot of in the news is that 90% of the women come back with post-traumatic stress versus the men, the percentage with the men was like 10%. But, you know, men and women are different. We are made different. We react to things differently. But you never,
sure.
I've never heard of that. but it makes sense. You know, even I remember talking to somebody that was not really in active combat, but she was around it enough to hear it. She said she came home and heard that gun, you know, the gunshot. When she came home, she kept hearing that, and she still. So I'm thinking, you know, we forget there is a difference. And then to top it off, this is even worse because, like you were saying, they would be in the same shower.
Yes. Yes, it'd be like men and women showering together that are not married. And, you know, it is so terribly wrong, and we all know that, and yet this is being pushed, just being pushed on our military. And you know, going back to the admiral that was testifying, Admiral Mullen, said. He said this. This is a direct quote, Diana. He said, "We would focus on all those all-male combat units who didn't have exposure and certainly do it in a way from a training and leadership standpoint that was intense enough to achieve the outcome we want, which is the normalization of homosexuality, that training would be intense enough to achieve that outcome." And then he was asked, what if they don't comply? Admiral Mullen continued, "Should repeal occur, some soldiers and Marines may want separate shower facilities. The request denied. Some may ask for different berthing. Request denied. Some may even quit the service. We'll deal with that," Admiral Mullen said, as in resignation accepted. Mullen added, "There is no gray area. We, you know, you do this or you find another place to work, period." So,
Ms. Barbara,
that's what we're dealing with.
What does our senators swear to? Do they not swear to defend? And I'm thinking this is going to leave us wide open.
You bet it is. Exactly. It is the policy has been shown, this policy that they're trying to push has been shown and demonstrated, many evidences, many proofs put forth to show how destructive this would be to our military. And everyone can go to the website, Center for Military Readiness with Elaine Donnelly. And she's done exhaustive studies on this. She has testified. Other military people have testified to this. Our chaplains who are facing forced resignation because of this, there were over 30 retired Army, Navy, Air Force chaplains that sent a letter to President Obama, to Defense Secretary Gates, and other political leaders. And they said, you know, they are deeply concerned, and they do not want this to happen. They will not be able to. They do this. They do a program called Strong Bonds for military families, military couples that are under intense pressure, as life in the military is extremely stressful for our military families and our military couples. So the chaplains provide this program for military couples, Strong Bonds, how to deal with the stress and so forth. And so if this goes through, then they would have to open up the program, Strong Bonds, to all couples, including homosexual couples, but they would not be able to state they would not be able to freely speak to them, you know, and they would not be able to, you know, for their relationship that's harmful and sinful. They couldn't speak to that. They would be gagged. They would be censored. So it goes from bad to worse. And our troops, as you've said many times, Diana, our troops need spiritual help and guidance, and particularly during these very dangerous, perilous days. Our troops are in need of chaplains. We don't need to have our chaplains driven out of the military.
No, we don't. You're right, Miss Barbara. And it's just, this is, I'm thinking too, you know, when they talk about, as you have said, that they're going to go under instructions to, I guess, make them think that this is lifestyle is acceptable.
Yeah.
I wonder if it will go into also their families. If there will be some training also to subjugate not just the men, but, you know, their families also.
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, it would, I suppose, by necessity, be required, you know, for the family unit, for the cohesiveness of a family unit.
Ms. Barbara, when they swear the oath, when they become a senator or a congressman, what all do you, can we look at the words that they say when they swear?
I've got the military oath that they swear, but basically it is to uphold, support, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and to the very best of their ability. So help me God, you know, and the Constitution to the United States includes the Bill of Rights, which states Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or restricting the freedom of speech or prohibiting the freedom of speech. So, you know, they ought not to be making laws that violate that.
So right there is unconstitutional from what you just read.
Yeah. And it's totally, totally discriminatory against Christians and Jews. Because the Bible is God's, he reveals his standards to us in the Bible, and that standard, you know, does not permit homosexuality or adultery or fornication. We're talking sexual immorality of any nature, whether it's between, you know, regardless. And so, you know, that's biblical doctrine that
Ms. Barbara,
has to
I
be
think,
taught.
Ms. Barbara, I think of that scripture that you have, you know, told a story, and I'd like for you to tell that story again at some point. I don't have to do it right now, but, you know, I think about the scripture, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And, Ms. Barbara, I just think, you know, these are perilous times for these people who call themselves Christian to go against God's will, I think. And this is they're going to be putting their name on the line on this issue that is not going to affect just one, but multitude of souls. And I'm thinking that is a scary thing.
I just
heard in the news about Bernie Madoff. Have you heard the story in the latest news? I'm sure. I think it was last week or might have been this week. We know what happened to him. Now, in his case, it was for money. The price was money.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, it was for, I guess it was for, well, that's what he coveted. He wanted more money. His greed. But in this case, you know, I think there's, I don't know if it's money or if it's power. I really don't know what's on the line for these people that they would do this. I know that Senator Scott Brown, I think, is in the National Guard. So it's like turning his back on his own, you know, his comrades. And I'm just thinking, does he not realize what he's doing? Or I guess in his mind it must be worth it.
Well, you know, I don't know what his motivation is, but I just do know that this policy is wrong. It's wrong historically. It's wrong constitutionally. It's wrong biblically. And, historically, from the very beginning with our First Continental Army, homosexuality was not permitted. Neither adultery would have been permitted. Profane cursing was not permitted by the military. And we have the words from George Washington coming from his headquarters, from General Washington, about this. He also said that each soldier was to act as becomes a Christian soldier. Being a Christian soldier was defending the rights and liberties of his country. Becoming a Christian soldier was upholding God's standards that we talked about before, those biblical standards. One of the things that General Washington said, also the soldiers were not permitted to get drunk. Says the general, this was July 4th, 1775, right at the very beginning. And by the way, let's remember that General Washington took the position as commander-in-chief on two conditions. One, that he would receive no salary, and two, that there would be Christian chaplains appointed to his troops. Now, that's how important George Washington thought the Christian chaplains were to the well-being of our troops. They were to lead them in worship. And that was that important that General Washington was not even going to take that position unless Congress agreed to pay Christian chaplains for the troops. But this memo, this order from headquarters said, the general most earnestly requires and expects a due observance of those articles of war established for the government of the army, which, get this now, forbid profane cursing, swearing, and drunkenness, and in like manner requires and expects of all officers and soldiers not engaged on actual duty a punctual attendance on divine service to implore the blessings of heaven upon the means used for our safety and defense. So they were not only supposed to be in attendance and be there on time, but they were to be praying, actively praying for God's blessing upon us.
Would you repeat that? To implore the what?
To implore the blessings of heaven upon the means used for our safety and defense, upon the means used in the military.
Wow, we have come a long way.
Yes, we've sunk down that slippery slope really far. We are far down it, yes.
Well, Miss Barbara, you know, yesterday when we heard from those pastors, the Patriot pastor Garrett Lear, Pastor Tom Anderson, Reverend Kerry Gordon of Iowa, it gave me hope, and Judge Moore, of course, and it just really showed God's hand upon this nation and how in the darkest hour he had the standard lifted up. I mean, we know that the Ten Commandments was removed back in 2003. As we heard in the story of Reverend Kerry Gordon, he remembered hearing that issue, you know, with Judge Moore, drawing that line, and how it affected him. And it's like what we've seen in Iowa is a start of a taking back this nation for God. I shouldn't say a start. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
It was the Black Robe Brigade, 2010, that was active in that because it was the pastors, the churches there in Iowa, and Judge Moore went up there from Alabama and rallied the troops and spoke extensively, traveled all over the state rallying the troops, and it was the churches, praise God. They have had the training and teaching and training from the Bible in order to be able to understand what it's all about. And that's what we need today all over our country, not just Iowa. But, yeah, they took it back. They removed those three judges who had approved of same-sex marriage and all of that. And the voters in Iowa said, no, we refuse for our moral foundation to be compromised and to be ripped out from underneath us, and we're going to stand up for what's right. And they did. And it was beautiful to behold. But, yeah, you're right. It gives us hope.
Yes, and I know this dark day, I've been thinking about this, issues before Congress. But then I remember that, and I'm thinking, well, God is on his throne. He sees all these things. And, I think ones that really have a lot more to worry about is really not us, but the men and women who put their name on the line and vote for these, I call it anti-God, laws. Where they're going to be promoting really the loss of souls. Souls are going to be the price of such an erroneous action, decisions that they make. And I don't know that they can wash their hands like Pilate did, Ms. Barbara.
No matter how often that they wash their hands, they're not going to be able to wash their hands of this. You're right. Pilate could not remove the blood from his hands, no matter how he tried.
Yeah, that general had warned them. He said, this is going to risk the lives of his men. And, I mean, what better than a Marine Corps general to tell you that? Because he knows his men are usually the first up front, giving their blood and sweat for this country. So I think they should have listened to him. I heard one congressman say that the hearing was a farce. There really was no hearing. You know, everything was trumped up and made like, they went through the process. But it's so unconstitutional. It made a mockery of our legislature, the true position of power that they hold, because they did not carry it to the full extent that they should have. But at the same time, too, Ms. Barbara, I just think about that Psalm 35, but for God. It really looks dim. It really looks dark. But it did, too, back then when Great Britain, was sure to just hit this nation like a tidal wave with its mighty forces, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right, the most powerful force on the face of the earth. They were up against little, they really had, at that time, had nothing. really nothing. And they were standing up to the most powerful force on the face of the earth. And they were weeping and praying together in that first Congress, that first day of the first Congress. They knew that they were desperate for God and desperate for Him to work on their behalf, because they knew the danger they were facing. And what I hear you saying, Diana, is that that's where we are right now. We can't count on man to do what's right, and we are facing such a formidable force with those that are pushing this through, the first the House, and now the Senate, but for God. And what I hear you saying is that but for Him, it will pass.
Ms. Barbara, do you mind if I read a portion of that?
And that's then, good. Psalm 35. This was the psalm that the Reverend Jacob Duchesne read in that first Continental Congress in 1774, and it was part of the liturgy of the High Church, the regular readings from Psalms that day. And the Reverend Jacob Duchesne read this psalm, and the delegates there from all over were just stricken to the heart, because it spoke to their situation exactly what they were feeling. Let's listen.
Okay. I'm going to read Psalm 35 from verse 22 on, Ms. Barbara. O Lord, You have seen this. Be not silent. Do not be far from us, O Lord. Awake and rise to our defense. Contend for us, our God and Lord. Vindicate us, Lord, in Your righteousness, O Lord, our God. Do not let them gloat over us. Do not let them think, aha, just what we wanted, or say we have swallowed them up. May all who gloat over our distress be put to shame and confusion. May all who exalt themselves over us be clothed with shame and disgrace. May those who delight in our vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be exalted who delights in the well-being of His servants. Let our tongue, Lord, speak of Your righteousness and of Your praises all day long. And Ms. Barbara, God was so good, so amazing. He's always good, not just then. He is today. And I do pray that His will be done. And as we said earlier, you know, this did not happen overnight. The church has been asleep. We've thought too long that politics was dirty, and we forgot. You know, I've heard the terminology garbage in, garbage out. Well, you know, we've allowed the people that really did not have a heart for God's ways to enter the halls of Congress in the most powerful nation in the world that can do so much good. And for too long, we have seen it as something dirty. But really, it's really an amazing gift from an awesome God who said, you know, one of the best gifts I can give you is the opportunity to make godly laws that will bless your children and your children's children. And we took our hand from that.
You're right, Diana, and the church has been silent, and it is the church that is the conscience of a nation, and we have failed to be that conscience, and we have failed to speak up and speak out about what is right, and so we've come to this point. As you said, it didn't happen overnight. It has been a slow decay and a disintegration, and yet it seems to be coming. we see the fruit now. We're beginning to really, really see the fruit of what we have failed to do to stop that from growing into this gigantic tree of unrighteousness in every way. And, you know, Diana, I'm reminded of what Pastor Kerry Gordon said yesterday, that the Great Commission to go into all the world is geographically throughout all the world, but it's also throughout all the world into every arena, government, education, law, arts, into every area of life, into all the world, we're to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have failed to do that. And as the church has failed to do that, the body of Christ has failed to do that. And this is where we've come as a result of that failure. We see the fruit of unrighteousness rather than the fruit of righteousness. And
Ms. Barbara, I'm just, while you're speaking, I'm looking for the scripture, you know, they mentioned about David and Goliath yesterday.
Yes. Yes.
And I know it's in 1 Samuel, and I think I'm almost upon it, and I was wanting to remember what it was that David said.
Well, one of the things I remember David saying is, how dare that uncircumcised Philistine taunt the army of the living God? How dare he? And, you know, David stepped up to the plate, and he said, if nobody else will do it, God and I will do it. We'll do it. And they will know that there is a God. And that's exactly what he did, you know. But and that's what we have to do. Those of us who know, the Bible says in Psalms, David said, I believed, therefore I spoke, you know. So as we believe,
wow.
We must speak.
Well, with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, would you mind praying over us?
It'd be my pleasure for us to pray together as we close out our show today, Diana. What a privilege it is. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to once again come before you, O God. You are our God, and we praise you and we thank you. We thank you nothing is too difficult for you. We thank you, Father, that all things are possible with you, Lord. And even as we're facing the situation in the Senate today, and we do recognize that the forces are mighty that are against you, against your word, against all what is right. And we recognize that, Father, but we do acknowledge, oh God, your greatness and your greatness throughout all history, Father. You've revealed all the times, Father, that you have come to the defense of your people. And we ask, Lord, that you would defend your word this day, Father. And we ask for a miracle. We ask for your presence there, Father, and your power. We recognize, Father, that it is a big request, but you are a big God, and nothing is beyond you, Lord. We just pray, Father. We know we don't deserve your mercy, but we do ask for your mercy today, Lord. We ask for your mercy, that you would show your mercy to us, O God. And we also ask on behalf of those who have gone before us, as well as those who will come after us. But there have been many before us, Father, who have been faithful to you, Lord, to pray for this country, to pray that it will stay the course and stay with you, Father, and so that many, many can be blessed with the gift of freedom and opportunity and We ask, Father, that you would also honor their prayers as well as ours and the many, many, many others, oh God, all over this country and all over the world who are praying about this, even right now, Father, as we pray. We join with them, Father. Have mercy on us, oh God. We pray this in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Miss Barbara.
Thank you so much.
Great. Well, God is so good, and he reigneth over us all, and we are just going to be waiting and watching and keeping on.
Yes.
Miss Barbara, you know, we keep praising him. He is an awesome God, and I thank you for the privilege, Miss Barbara, of you sharing your knowledge with us, you know, and I'm just thinking, I hope that with a coming year that more opportunities will be there to share the history of God's love upon this nation and its people with a younger and younger generation as the enemy tries to take away, you know, any semblance of him in this nation. We want to fight back because we know that,
you know,
that's the hope.
You know, yes. You know, Diana, it's one of the greatest stories, the history of this nation. Exciting, heroic, you know, all the makings of just a great, great story. And it is, and it's true. And when young people find out all about it, they find out a little, and then they want to know more. So it's. I hope that will be happening this next year also.
And it has to be God, Ms. Barbara, because you look at all the countries in the world, and you know everybody has their eye on America.
Oh, yeah.
I would say probably 90% of the world's eye is on this nation, and we've got to let her shine.
Right. That's right. Let it shine.
Shine and show God's amazing love. I mean, he loves us individually, and he formed this nation as a gift for us, and we want to honor it and make it shine. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Thank you, listeners. May God bless you and shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill Radio Show. Goodbye.
You have been listening. You have been listening to the radio program, A City on a Hill, promoting the Christian biblical worldview. May God bless you richly as you serve the Lord.